Recording is on.
So welcome everyone to this week's W3C CCG meeting. This week we will have Daniel, and I think Ori, you are going to also help talk about the Open Wallet Foundation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Sounds good. Exciting topics. So before we get to the main agendas, just want to do quick call notes. First of all, just want to remind everyone about the code of ethics and professional conduct. Just want to make sure that everyone, when they leave their comments, acknowledge and respect each other's. We don't need to agree, right? Agreement and acknowledgements are different, but let's make sure that we acknowledge each other. IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributions to any CCG work items must be member of the CCG with a full IPR agreement signed. So I've sent out those links in the emails, agenda emails. Just click on those links and ensure that you have a W3C account. Quick call notes, the meeting minutes and audio recordings can be found on the W3C CCG GitHub page. And we use the GT chat tool here to queue the speakers during the call. So you can type in Q+ to add yourself to the queue, or Q- to remove yourself to the queue, from the queue. All right, just want to get to the introductions and reintroductions. I see a couple new folks here, so if you don't mind, just unmute and then kind of introduce yourself, or you know, if you have not been active in the community and just rejoining, you can reintroduce yourself as well. Don't be shy.
Yeah, hello. This is Greg Bernstein. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. I'm relatively new to the group. I've been teaching cybersecurity and web programming at Cal State University East Bay. But prior to that, I did a lot of work on optical networking and optical networking standards at the IETF, but got very interested in verifiable credentials, all the crypto that goes with it, and the APIs and such when COVID hit and I was teaching and we had to transfer online. So trying to see where I can help out. Good to meet everyone.
Sounds good. Welcome, Greg. Welcome to the community. Anyone else? Any other introductions, reintroductions? All right, I'll do the call out at the end of the meeting as well. Next, announcements and reminders. Kalia, do you want to do a quick IW announcement?
Yeah, we've got the Internet Identity Workshop coming up November 15 to 17 in Mountain View, California. If you have not registered yet and you are coming, you need to register. We will fill up. So please do that. We have OpenID Foundation is having meetings on Monday. The JFF folks are meeting on Monday. The VRM folks are meeting on Monday. DIF is having a happy hour on Monday. So lots of activity is happening around IAW. And I also think we still have a couple diversity and inclusion scholarships available. So reach out. I'll put my email in chat. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Kalia. Other announcements and reminders? All right. Any updates or questions on the new work items or any new work items that people want to bring up? All right. One quick thing. So last week, Kimberly has mentioned about like we're going to start a little task group to talk about refining our mission statements and you know, the community's missions and things like that. So the, you know, if you're, interested to join those, conversations and, working group, please just, let us know. Just email the chairs, co-chairs. All right. Any other announcements and reminders? All right. So, let's get to the main agenda. By the way, Daniel, were you able to get the audio working? Daniel? All right, maybe Ori can do the presentations for that.
I certainly can speak. I think he says, I don't hear you when I dial in. The system disconnects the line. Hopefully he will try a different web browser. Do we have any ideas about which web browsers work the best with Jitsi?
I'm using Chrome right now on Mac, and it's working fine.
Yep, that's what I'm using as well. Yeah.
Well, Firefox Linux working fine for me.
Okay.
I'm using Safari on iPhone. It works well.
Okay. Well, hopefully Daniel can hear these wonderful suggestions.
I did not, but I was able to get it to work on Safari. My apologies for the late entry. I had in one of the invites, I had a Zoom link, and then for some odd reason, the app didn't work. But really glad to be here.
Daniel, do you plan to share the deck, or would you like me to?
Given my technical problems, I think it's much safer if you do.
I will go ahead.
Yep, I'll do a quick background. So for those who didn't see the email thread on W3C CCG, around September 20th, we have an email thread around the Open Wallet Foundation, which is under Linux Foundation. So there's an announcement on that, and there was a good thread going on, and I thought it would be a good idea to invite Daniel and also Ori to kind of talk about the Open Wallet Foundation and their good work there, or the work that they will be doing in the coming month and in the future. You know, I think the premise and also the philosophy behind the Open Wallet Foundation, I think all of us in the communities are definitely behind and supportive of. And I think it's good for, I think a lot of people in the community would be interested to learn more about it. So, you know, without further ado, just want to kind of have Daniel and Ori kind of speak to that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you again for the kind invitation. I would like to tell you a little bit about the genesis, the history, how we started. I want to tell you what our goals are, and specifically what we're not trying to do, and the reasons behind some of the early decisions that we took. And then I'm really happy that Ori is joining the conversation, because he knows both about the Open Wallet Foundation as well, of course, about the CCG. And I think he will be able to do a much better job than me to explain why he's there and what some of the areas might be that are probably relevant for both CCG and Open Wallet. Or if I could ask you to go to, yes, thank you, the next slide. So let's start with maybe a brief history of Open Wallet. It's really a very young initiative. We started discussing the idea at Money 2020 in Amsterdam only in June of this year, so less than half a year ago. And basically organized a meeting with a couple of the European bank identity schemes and discussed the idea of potentially investing together in building blocks that would allow us to create a wallet together more quickly and at a lower cost. And that meeting went really well. And after it was over, I returned to Money 2020 and by chance ran into Marie, heads digital identity for Visa in Europe. She had already heard about that meeting and asked why Visa wasn't invited. And I was thrilled, of course, to hear that Visa might be interested in this. And a couple of weeks later at Identiverse in Denver, Microsoft suggested that they may have an interest in this as well. It was also Microsoft that was the first company to suggest that maybe we should not start with a clean sheet of paper and create a new organization from scratch, but rather work with an existing organization that, one, has know-how in how to build open source code, and B, ideally be an organization that some of the companies that are interested in shared source code would already have a relationship with. And this is really what led us to approach the Linux Foundation and basically pitch the idea to create the Open Wallet Foundation as a chapter of the Linux Foundation, similar to how Kubernetes works, or you know, maybe more recently PyTorch. In the meantime, we have more than 300 companies and nonprofits that expressed an interest in participating. I heard today that the number is now actually over 350 companies and nonprofits, and I'm really happy not just with the sheer number of interested parties, but the diverse mix. We have some very large companies that are part of the discussion, including the ones I mentioned, MasterCard, Microsoft, Visa, but also Accenture and Norton, Avast, and you know, folks like Ping Identity, for instance, and Okta of Zero. But we also have much smaller startups, and you know, Ori can probably tell you a little more about that. But also folks like Spruce, for instance, and nonprofits like the organization that is open sourcing the technology behind Aadhaar, an organization in India called MoSIP, as well as folks from iSpirit. And nonprofits that are not primarily in the software space, but in areas that I think will come in very handily, for instance, the Open Identity Exchange or Trust Over IP Foundation. So a very diverse mix. And this is really part of what we're trying to do in terms of building a bigger tent. Now, on the next slide, you see actually what we're trying to achieve with the Open Wallet Foundation. What we're trying to do is to create building blocks that allow anyone to publish a wallet. And of course, we want these wallets to be secure, ideally interoperable, and multi-purpose. What we mean by multi-purpose is that we believe, from the perspective of end users, wallets will, in many situations, maximize the value for customers if they are not one-trick ponies that focus just on identity or just on driver's licenses or just on NFTs or cryptocurrencies or just on car keys, but ideally act almost like a Swiss Army knife. And just like physical wallets and to a lesser extent the native mobile operating system wallets, enable a plurality of use cases in a seamless fashion and taking advantage of many different formats and technologies. Very specifically, we are trying to focus only and exclusively on open source software. So the Open Wallet Foundation isn't a standardization organization. We're not trying to compete with the W3C or the Decentralized Identity Foundation or the OpenID Foundation or Trust or IP we really want to focus 100% on software. And equally importantly, we are not planning to publish our own wallet. The reason being that we think that some of the existing companies that are interested in Open Wallet, and hopefully some of the companies that may find the Open Wallet Foundation to be appealing in the future, may very well be interested to create their own wallets. And we don't want the Open Wallet Foundation to be seen as competing with the interests of at least a subset of the membership of the Open Wallet Foundation. With that, I'd like to pass the virtual microphone to Ori to give you a little more details.
Awesome. Can you all hear me? I think I'm unmuted, but it's been a while since I spoke.
Yes.
Awesome. So I thought I would share why Transmute, you know, why I'm interested in participating in the Open Wallet Foundation, and, you know, how we think about the OWF's role versus the other organizations that you might be aware of or that we've been engaged in before, why we feel that a new organization has a use and value in this ecosystem. And I'm going to focus on the two organizations that I participate in the most, which is the W3C CCG and W3C, you know, formal working groups, and the Decentralized Identity Foundation. And in both of these organizations, we've seen standards incubation, we've seen test suites being developed, crypto suites being developed, and some open source software along with some of these standards track documents that are headed for, you know, a formal standards process. And just speaking from personal experience at the Decentralized Identity Foundation and within the W3C CCG, managing open source software is not a thing that in general works super well, in my opinion, for either the W3C CCG or DIF. And what I mean by that are projects, large projects with significant amount of contributors. It's difficult to manage them, and they tend to be very focused, you know, at DIF on identity, or in the credentials community group on credentials. And wallets are open source software things that need to interact with both of these. I would say one of the projects at DIF that's done really, really well in open source is the Universal Resolver work by Marcus Sabadillo and the and Danube Tech. You know, that is a good example of a DIF project that has a large open source software development, you know, initiative and engagement, and it's been, you know, fairly healthy at Decentralized Identity Foundation. And there are other projects that DIF has that are open source that aren't specific to wallet activity. And similarly at the CCG, there's links at the end of the slides to some of these open source software components or standards related to wallets that have been incubated at the W3C CCG. So just to paint you a picture of what identity and credentialing standards looks like today, on the left is Stable Diffusion's idea of what standards organizations deliberating on identity standards looks like. And on the right are a number of logos for organizations you might be a part of or you might be engaged in today. And these aren't all standards organizations. Some of them are open source software communities. Some of them are formal standards organizations. Some of them are community groups. And each of these organizations on the right has a sort of focus for the most part. And that those focuses don't always lead to having the right folks in the room for digital wallets. And I think the Linux Foundation can help create a sort of shared common ground for some of these digital wallet building blocks. And through collaboration and open source, we can make improvements that extend beyond the sort of open source software that we see supporting some of these emerging standards today. So I wanted to share with you some of the preliminary architecture to paint a picture of the way that, you know, we're currently thinking about open wallet architecture. And the left-hand side has some AI-generated images of wallets with various digital items in it. And on the right, you see our preliminary architecture diagram. And the important thing I think to notice here is this middle center band on digital objects. And this really speaks to what Daniel was saying before around the need to have wallets that aren't just single trick or narrowly focused, but to have wallets that can support digital identity, tickets, digital car keys, digital assets, tokenized credit cards, financial instruments. The digital representations of these sort of physical concepts and giving users a set of building blocks, giving developers a set of building blocks to build experiences for users that aren't limited to just a single digital object type thing. And then the other piece I'd like to draw your attention to is this protocols layer. And, you know, full disclosure, I mean, these are preliminary architecture diagrams. We've just been discussing the ecosystem as we've been able to sort of explore it. And one of the things that we've seen is that, you know, it's not enough to have support for digital objects, but you need to have ways of exchanging them. You need to have an understanding of the protocols that and standards that might be relevant to moving these digital objects around in an interoperable way. And so when we think about, you know, wallet modularity or wallet architectures, there's the digital objects and sort of data modeling layer. And some of the work that has happened within the W3C CCG and the W3C applies to that data modeling layer. So for example, decentralized identifiers, verifiable credentials as, you know, digital objects or systems that are managed as digital objects within a digital wallet. And then there's these protocols which have to do with, you know, transacting between a wallet and a website or between an issuer and a holder in the context of some of these W3C standards. So again, this is just a preliminary architecture, but I'm hopefully painting a picture that is inclusive of several things that have been very that have been developed at W3C and some things that haven't been developed at W3C, you know, specifically digital asset management, digital car keys, tokenized credit cards, some of those things that you haven't necessarily seen being led within the W3C, but that are very relevant to digital wallets. So I wanted to share some work in the context of work that's happened within the W3C that might be relevant to the Open Wallet Foundation and basically to share some of these sort of components that we've been working on, speaking for Transmute and I guess Measure and MavenNet to some extent. We've been working on supply chain traceability issues and essentially the interoperability tests that we've been developing for supply chain traceability with decentralized identifiers and verifiable credentials are a test of a kind of cloud wallet for supply chain. And we have an open source implementation, which we've been using to help pass some of those tests and to also inform architectural decisions around them. And this speaks to components that are standards track sort of documents around the data model and the APIs for moving the data model around that are relevant to the digital wallet work, but the digital wallet work isn't the place to do that standards work. We have open source software that supports this. And so I wanted to share these test results and some of these links to these projects because there's a chance that some of the components that we're using to build and support these interoperability tests could be, you know, in the future donated to Open Wallet Foundation in a modular way so that any wallet implementer could support some of these interoperable data models or the interoperable APIs around exchanging them. And with that, the last links are just the links to the Linux Foundation announcement, the architecture task force repo in the Open Wallet Foundation GitHub. And then there's some links to some W3C resources that have informed some of those conversations. So in particular, the Universal Wallet Interop spec has a lot of overlap with the core mission of the Open Wallet Foundation. The VC API is one of these APIs that's supporting those interoperability tests that I just showed. The VP request spec and the credential handler API are mechanisms for exchanging verifiable credentials between a holder wallet and a verifier website. And so these are building blocks that could be relevant to the protocols layer or to the data modeling layer within the Open Wallet Foundation. And there could be open source that supports these standards and standards drafts at the W3C CCG that might be contributed to the Open Wallet Foundation and that could lead to increased adoption of these standards. And with that, I'm happy to stop presenting and answer any questions that we have.
Thank you, Ori. Thank you, Daniel. Any questions? Please just type in a Q plus and add yourself to the queue. Manu?
Yeah. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Ori, for that presentation. Really helpful to kind of understand what OWF is planning on doing. Before I say the rest of this stuff, I just want to make it super clear that I'm very, very supportive of the vision for Open Wallet Foundation. I think the vision is great. I think it's solid. Yes, absolutely. We need open source building blocks to support not only digital wallets, but, you know, moving all these credentials around. And so I think that's a fantastic, wonderful vision. It is the execution on that vision that I remain skeptical of. Again, I hope you're successful in achieving the vision. That said, usually Linux Foundation programs, the really successful ones, have an open source project that has already taken off, something that has been released 3 or 5 or 10 years ago and has a really strong open source following and it needs a home. And then it's moved into Linux Foundation, right? In Open Wallet Foundation's case, what we're looking at is kind of a design by committee architecture group that's going to create this open source code from day one. And you've got 350 organizations all involved in that process, right? I think I've never seen that pulled off before. What I've typically seen is, you know, the closest thing would be like the OpenStack work, where the large amount of that was written by Rackspace and IBM and then contributed. So that's the first thing is this feels like it's going to become a design by committee open source project. And, we need to understand that there are already open source projects that exist out there for doing verifiable credentials and MDL and all that kind of stuff. Like there are existing pieces of software that people have put effort into. I'm not quite understanding why those other programs are not being supported more since they do have usage and people, are using them. That's the first concern. The second concern is around what typically happens in these situations. Like everyone likes to say, hey, you know, Chromium is an open code base. Anyone can contribute to it, right? But in reality, it's Google. You're going to hit some Google, internal Google team where Google has hired all the open source developers that work on that part of Chromium. And in order to get it into Chromium or get it shipped, you are looking at going through a large, multinational, corporation, to get your stuff in there. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Like, you know, Chromium exists, WebKit exists and it's a good thing, but you shouldn't underestimate how Linux Foundation is used in order to create something open source, but still maintain kind of corporate control over the open source, tool. So this is an argument for diversity in open source implementations, not to have a monolith, open source implementation. Again, I want to make it very clear that I'm very supportive of the vision. It's just, I have not seen something attempted in this way that has led to, you know, a successful outcome. That's it.
Manu, thank you very much for the kind critical feedback, which is really appreciated. Let me maybe try to respond to the first point first. I think you yourself mentioned that there are a lot of open source projects already. And when we look at the landscape of, you know, everything from verifiable credentials to Anon creds to tokenized payment cards, you know, credit cards and debit cards, to car keys, to room keys, there is a lot of open source work going on already. And the idea is not to throw that away. On the contrary, the idea is to start with building blocks and identify building blocks where code already exists. So let's take ISO-MDL just as an example. There is already open source code available for Android. To the best of my knowledge, there is not, or at least not a great open source library available for iOS today. So the idea is not to say, let's start in a vacuum, but rather to take stock and look at what's available and then try to bring individuals and organizations together who have an interest in code for ISO-MDL. And then agree how a good implementation on Android and iOS that is truly open source and is adhering to all the standards to the best extent possible, how such a code base would look like. And then we're trying to do the same thing for tokenized debit cards and credit cards, where we're really fortunate that companies like MasterCard and Visa, who worked on MDES and VDES, are interested to be part of that work. So we're trying to get, again, organizations and, at the end of the day, people together to suggest a really good implementation for tokenizing payment cards. And the idea is not to do that top-down for an executive director or a board to say, those are the projects, and you know, if you don't like them, too bad, but rather to have this approach bottom up. So if you care about ISO-MDL, or if you care about something that, you know, no one has mentioned yet, the idea is that everyone can get together, create a building block, and for that building block to become part of the open wallet code. What we hope to be able to do is, over time, find commonality between those building blocks. And, you know, there are so many people on this call who are so much more technical than I am that I don't want to make suggestions. But just, you know, as an example, maybe the different groups, the different building blocks can agree on programming languages, or maybe they'll agree on shared key management over time. Or maybe they come to identify a couple of principles, like you know, agility when it comes to crypto, and try to say, well, it would be great if all the building blocks would live up to some of these principles. And the goal really is that the board will do as little as possible and for as much as possible to work bottom up rather than top down. And, you know, having said that, this is still, you know, something that was born in June. It is still not formalized. So, you know, you, Manu, anyone else on this call, if you have a better idea, if you care about wallets, if you care about a plurality of wallets, we are really looking for feedback and for constructive criticism to see how we can, on the one hand, take advantage of the work that has been done already, and on the other hand, trying to bring, you know, different and in some cases, almost violently opposed camps together, which is one of the things I really like with the metaphor of a browser engine, because in a browser engine like Blink, you have a lot of different internals, right? You have HTML and you have Web IDL and you have, I don't know, the JavaScript V8 engine. And you would never say, let's drop HTML over V8 or vice versa. And my hope is that we can do the same thing, that we can actually have a really good implementation for W3C verifiable credentials and an implementation for car keys and for tokenizing, credit cards and debit cards and maybe add-on creds. And for those to become components so that if you want to publish a wallet and you're interested in many of these building blocks, that we make it easier for you to basically take those building blocks and make them part of your wallet.
Thank you. And Mike.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to jump in, kind of personal hat on first, which is awesome, cool. I think this could potentially be really useful. And I've had, kind of a gut desire at some point to see something to an equivalent of OpenSSL as a Swiss Army knife and toolkit and common set of libraries. Now that also has security concerns and stuff like that, but a common set of libraries for working with the kinds of things that we work with, whether it's verifiable credentials or DIDs, et cetera. And there's been a lot of good work from a lot of companies on this. I've contributed code to some of them personally, right? And as a company, certainly we've got folks contributing to that. And I think pass this along to Ori, obviously, but any of the code we've contributed to DIDACT or other things like that, very happy to donate those into Open Wallet Foundation. I think that could be potentially very helpful, at least as good foundational TypeScript and JavaScript examples. Not that we use them in production, but it is something we actively test against and validate and try to improve over time so that the community has a good example set. So
love that snipe at JavaScript, Mike. Keep it
going. No problem. You know I can't help it. and if you don't know, that's totally a good fun back and forth with Ori and I on the JavaScript site. But yeah, it's something definitely highly supportive and want to see, continue, and we'll continue to help any way we can. So that's personal hat off now and going to chair hat, which is how is CCG chairs, aside from making sure we're bringing you guys in to talk about what's going on, what's actually going on, what are the goals? How can we help support, right? Because a lot of this is providing solid ultimately, I think, it provides solid implementations of the things we work on here at CCG, elsewhere in the, W3C, and also at ITF, DIF, et cetera, right? So basically, what are some feedback and concrete thoughts, actions from Daniel, from Ori, et cetera, as far as how the CCG can help?
Well, I think you are already helpful, by starting with criticism and saying, out loud what you think is not ideal. And so I really appreciate, Manu's feedback. I have spoken with him before, and I think we will only get better if people are, criticizing what they dislike. In addition to that, I think there are two areas where we are at the moment looking for input and for feedback. One is we are really trying to get this duocracy going and basically get folks together to take a look at the existing four building blocks that were identified. Again, those are payment tokens, ISO MDL, verifiable credentials, and anon creds. And anyone around those four areas, if you feel that there is code base that should be used as a starting point, and or if you are a developer or have a developer to spare and are interested for that developer to add to any one of those building blocks, please make yourself heard. We really want this to be your project. If you feel that there is a building block missing, and I certainly feel there are a lot of building blocks missing, please feel free to suggest them and try to find like-minded people who either have code and or developers to spare in order to make sure that that building block exists. And on the governance side and on the more strategic side, if you have a proposal for how to create something that is as useful as possible for the broader community, even if it's not pertaining to particular code, but an, you know, overarching principle, we want to hear that as well. We haven't incorporated the foundation. We hope to do that either at the end of this year or hopefully in the first quarter of next year. So it's still something that is formable. We can change it based on the feedback that we receive, and we are really keen to hear any and all well-meant feedback.
Thank you. Ori, you have the floor.
So I'm cued to just to mention one area where your feedback is really appreciated. And that's, and if you think about the different protocols that might perform similar behaviors and informing the Open Wallet Foundation on the traction that these different protocols have in the market and the order in which we might want to see open source implementations of them supported. So for example, with verifiable credentials, there's the VC API, there's OpenID Connect, there's Chappie, there's DidCom. Each of these has a role or has a set of capabilities that might facilitate parts of that verifiable credential triangle between issuer, holder, and verifier. And we see a lot of potential redundancy in these different protocol pieces, and a wallet might implement several of these protocols to be interoperable so that, you know, regardless of which issuer or verifier you go to, you have a way to get your digital objects into your wallet and get them out of your wallet to present. And you can imagine scenarios where maybe you got a verifiable credential from an OpenID Connect flow, but you're presenting it over a DidCom flow or things like that. Those are standards that exist out there today and that you can implement support for. But the order in which the Open Wallet Foundation addresses the open source software that supports them is a function of who will do the work. And that's an area where I think folks in this community could really engage super positively to support protocols that you are passionate about, that you know have, you know, adoption in the market today, that would provide value to your platform if you're, you know, setting up an issuance API with the VC API, for example. Maybe you want to provide some open source software that allows a holder wallet to receive credentials from it. That's the kind of activity where I think this community could really help move the needle in increasing the adoption of some of these W3C standards that we believe, you know, are going to help provide greater authenticity for, you know, digital actors and digital wallets generally. That's it.
Thanks, Ori. Mike?
Yeah, no, that was very helpful. I want to ask, just since MDL has been brought up a few times, and then also just kind of thinking about the question Ori just brought up as far as like protocol overlap and things like that, right? The MDoc versus VCs, I mean, there's a lot of contention there for a lot of good reason. I guess the question I have around the MDL side specifically is, do you have any concerns about licensing or licensing standards from ISO and providing implementations? And then probably more importantly, do you have any concerns about providing a wallet, you know, framework or tooling around wallets that could be, or have you gotten clarity, for instance, from Apple around their, patent that just came out of that CRADA, hitting on, use of MDL at, you know, checkpoints and things like that, which is like a very core wallet. Like that patent's really broad, right? So are there concerns from your side there? Are there concerns from Linux Foundation there? Or have you received or could you help receive potentially some, commitment from Apple around defensive use as opposed to offensive use of that patent? Any insights there?
So the simple answer, are we concerned or am I concerned, is yes. And I think most people on this call are probably sharing your concern. I believe that this is one of the reasons why something like the Open Wallet Foundation is a good thing. I believe that almost every company and nonprofit and government shares an interest in a plurality of secure interoperable wallets and probably inherently dislikes the idea of any one company or institution trying to monopolize the wallet space. We have seen companies trying to use wallets as choke points, either to extract money or to extract data. And I believe that wallets should be neutral digital public infrastructure. And in a world where some companies see this differently, I believe it is especially important that those forces that disagree and that think that wallets are not a place to make money, either directly or indirectly, should get together. And, you know, can I offer you a guarantee that we are able to convince any company to do something they may not want to do? No, there is no such guarantee. But if the question is, are we better off trying to bring essentially the entire world that is interested in a plurality of wallets together, even if that world may disagree to, you know, in technical terms, which formats and which protocols to use? And are we better off if such a coalition could become a better partner for governments as well? Because governments have now a third choice, not just to work with the winners of the mobile operating system wars or to try and create a wallet monopoly for themselves as governments, but rather to work with what is hopefully going to become a very broad alliance of companies, nonprofits, and governments together to create more of a level playing field. I believe the answer is yes, this is going to help almost everyone in this field. And this is why we have car companies and we have healthcare companies and software companies and travel companies, and of course companies in the, you know, narrow identity space, as well as credit card schemes and banks, because even though their interest is vastly different, they look at wallets and are interested in wallets for very, very different reasons. We all share a desire and a conviction that wallets must not become choke points.
Thank you, Daniel. Manu?
Yeah, a plus one to that vision, Daniel. I think it's those are fantastic points. And again, completely on board with the vision. And my takeaway there is that OWF will then also be involved in intellectual property concerns around patents and copyright and all variety of other things. You'd have to be in order to deliver on that vision, which I think is fine, right? Because W3C and ITF, they're involved in patent concerns and copyright concerns and things of that nature. It's impossible to avoid. One of the thing I cued myself though was a different question. It was around whether or not you've considered funding the people that are already writing the open source. So rather than, you know, ask for us to come into OWF and contribute to some new open source project or new library or thing like that, my understanding is that OWF is going to try and raise a significant amount of funding. And we do know that there are a number of open source developers that exist out there right now that are building software and tooling for our ecosystem that are effectively reaching into their own pocket to pay themselves, right? And so what we have done, meaning DigitalBazaar has done over the years, is we have funded these open source developers. We've tried to pay them, you know, we've tried to scrape together money to kind of pay each one a certain amount to implement feature by feature. And the reason that at least we do that is because we don't feel like there is going to be one platform or one open source library or one anything that's going to be able to achieve the support that the market needs. Every organization has their preferences around programming environment and programming language. And so, you know, I think you're going to have to support many different open source packages that effectively do the same thing, but in different programming environments. So have you considered, you know, what percentage of the revenue to OWF you'd redirect towards open source developers that are already working on those programs?
So this is one of the key questions, I think. And the way we are trying to answer that question is basically by saying, first of all, how, you know, what are the building blocks that we believe as a community are important? And some of them will overlap. Some of them may be pretty unique. But what are those building blocks? Step number two, understand what is the available code base? And can we simply use that code, or is there work to be done? And then to understand what is work that is happily done by community members. The basic theory is that the Open Wallet Foundation will play, as a foundation, the smallest role possible. But wherever there are gaps, we need to identify those gaps. So my hunch, and it's just a hunch, is that there will be areas where there is probably a lot of code and maybe even a lot of developers. And there may be other areas that we all feel are really critical and important to address, but there's probably not a lot of code and not a lot of developers and not a lot of companies that are interested to do something. And this is an area where I believe we need to do exactly what you suggest, namely to ensure that there are funds available that can be used to entice people to provide important work that no one else would do otherwise. So, you know, this is not a perfect answer. I cannot give you a dollar amount, and I cannot tell you exactly what that work is going to be. But I can and want to invite you and everyone else on this call, as well as anyone else who you think should be part of the conversation that isn't already, to weigh in and try to identify what can be done by the community and where we will have gaps and what the required funding is to address those gaps in order to ensure that the Open Wallet Foundation comes up with a solution that is truly helpful. And we've, by the way, changed that. So, you know, when I say that we're looking for feedback, we started initially with a model or with the idea that most of the development would be done by the foundation itself. And we saw quite a bit of interest from different companies to provide and donate code as well as developers, and basically change the model a little bit to say, well, if there is an area where we can rely on existing code and on developers that are very familiar with that code, working at, you know, companies like Visa or maybe, you know, a card company for the CCC card keys, to rely on those and basically build on what's built and really focus on the gaps.
Thank you. And by the way, Daniel, I have a question in regards to kind of how this relates to Hyperledger Ares, because Hyperledger Ares, I believe, is also an open source wallet. So is Open Wallet Foundation going to work with Hyperledger Ares, or is it a complete separate thing?
Yeah, I would hope that Ares is going to become one of the building blocks of the Open Wallet engine, or whatever, you know, we'll end up calling it. But I also hope that it's going to be, you know, just quote unquote, one building block. So I believe when you look at wallets holistically, when you look at them from the perspective of what physical wallets are able to do, when you look at, you know, all the things that something like an Apple wallet or a Google wallet is able to do, I believe that it wouldn't be enough to simply say, let's, you know, use Ares as the end all be all solution. But conversely, it would be tragic if Open Wallet would not have an Ares building block. So my hope is that we're able, and this is why, you know, we called this a bigger tent. The hope really is to be able to create something that is very useful to Ares, but something that is equally useful to a lot of other companies, a lot of other nonprofits, a lot of other people with slightly different ideas, and in some cases, even opposing ideas, and allow for different building blocks to coexist, to over time work better together, and then eventually enable the flexibility for any publisher of a wallet to choose the building blocks they want to use depending on the use case and probably in some cases also depending on the geography.
Cool. Thank you. Any last questions from the community? All right. I just want to say thank you again, Daniel and Ori, for a great presentation on Open Wallet Foundation. I think if you don't mind, just send me the deck if it's okay for the public to review, and I'll send it to reply back to the agenda that I sent out last week.
Sure. Yeah, I can follow up with that.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you very much for the invitation. And if you want to be on the mailing list, just go to openwallet.foundation. And if you leave your contact details there, you're on the mailing list and will be invited to all the Open Wallet meetings.
Great. And then I will also send a follow email, Daniel, and then you can send me those information. I'll reply back to the thread as well. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
All right, we only have 1 minute left. Any last introductions, reintroductions, announcements, or reminders? All right, thank you. And then just a quick reminder, next week we won't have a meeting next week we will have Christina and the Microsoft team to talk about the Entra Verify ID, and then the week after that, the meeting is canceled because of the Internet Identity Workshop. All right, thanks a lot. Have a good one. Bye.